And welcome to the third edition of the GoMeanGreen.com post-game show. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
Harry, we are here as usual to talk North Texas football. Harry, once again, it's the story of the Jekyll and Hyde team, but you know what? Let's don't just look at the bad. Let's also look at the good. So let's go ahead and start out by talking about the good things.
Well, it was a 38-21 loss in the final score, and you got to say North Texas did come back in the second half and try to make a game of it as best they could. There were, you know, some bright spots, I thought.
Well, let's talk about the bright spots during the first half. So go ahead.
Well, I don't know that there were any.
Yeah, the first half was definitely not something that you wanted to see. Then we got behind very early. We were down 17-0 before you know, right into the second quarter. It was really ugly, really early.
Yeah, it just seemed like the team came out in sleepwalking is the best way I could put it. That was a big game for the program. You got two home games left. You had momentum. You had a great win against Lafayette on national television, and you had an opportunity to be in the thick of the hunt for the bowl. And this is a team that we thoroughly dominated just a year ago. It leaves you scratching your head a little bit. And I know there were some injuries and some things that occurred, but that first half was really, really tough to watch.
All right, so this kind of goes along with what we had talked about before. Jekyll and Hyde team. If you look at the schedule of what we've played so far, it's just typical what we just always dread. We started out with a loss to LSU. It was a loss, but it was a respectable showing. Then we won against Texas Southern. We were expected to. We won 34-7. We felt like we should have done better, but that's what it was. A great showing against Kansas State, but it was a loss. Then we came against Troy. That was a loss. So we come off the emotional victory of Kansas State, and, you know, whatever to be said on emotional victories, it was still a great showing against one of the top programs in the country.
Right.
That was Troy. Then Florida Atlantic, we win. All right, got a little momentum. We get drilled at Houston, back down. Louisiana Lafayette, come back up.
National TV.
National
good
TV.
Good crowd.
Against Lafayette, great crowd. Middle Tennessee, drop it again.
Yeah.
Only good thing I can think of is going into homecoming. Maybe we'll be back up for that.
Well, but you know the problem with that is that we're effectively out of the race now. So that takes a lot of the fun out of the last, you know, games of the season, and it's going to have an impact on an attendance, and it's going to have a impact, unfortunately, on the way that the season is going to be looked back upon. Hey, the reality of it is we knew this team did not have all the pieces, and when you lose a Chancellor who's basically your most outstanding offensive player, that's a big loss. And he, you know, we heard Coach Mack say he's got a broken collarbone. He's out for the season. So, but I think, you know, the quarterback play, Derek Thompson, you know, every time it seems like I'd get down on him, he'd come back and do something like that Lafayette game. But you're starting to say this inconsistency just didn't working for me.
It was very inconsistent. So let's go ahead and talk about the offense. First of all, right off the bat, you lose Chancellor in the opening drive. So he has by far been the playmaker of the year. What he's brought to the game, what he brought last year, but this year, you know, the touchdowns, the scoring, the big plays, he was our big player guy. Losing him in the first drive really hurts.
It does. And then on the other thing, the oddity of Ivan Delgado, who came up so huge in that Lafayette game, he doesn't make the trip. And for disciplinary reasons, we don't know the specific details. I mean, we know Mac runs a tight ship, but good night. You know, that's an important guy to not have out there. But you can go through the excuses a million different ways. At the end of the day, the offense had the ball and could not get first downs. And we know that our defense is not good enough to be out on the field all day. So when you do these three and outs and they're scoring every single time, you get yourself in such a deficit. This is very, very reminiscent of the Houston game, which you and I went to together. I mean, this is not an offense that can come back from a deficit. And when you're down, you know, 24 points at halftime and, you know, 31 points at the very start of the second half, you know, it's hard to think that you can come back and with this offense and make a game of it.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, we have a good running game. We can do a few things, but we cannot come back. Like, I'm surprised we actually did as well as we did. But I hate to dogpile Derek Thompson. He's had an up-and-down year. He's a good guy, but right now it's not looking like it's the answer to our problems.
No, it's not, and it's not because of lack of effort on his part or anything like that. He's a good kid. He's a smart kid, already working on his graduate degree. He's going to have a great education when he walks out of this place. But at the end of the day, you know, when it's not working for him, it just seems like the coaching staff has decided that we're going to be with Derek Thompson sink or swim. And you feel bad. You can't help feel bad for someone like a Brent Osborne that's, you know, the backup quarterback, and, you know, they're not going to give him a chance. You know, DT is a guy that can do some good things, but I think today's game leaves us with the feeling that maybe DT is not the answer, you know, at the quarterback position for where we want to see this program go.
All right, so I've got the stats up right now. They're already on the website. And you look at this, Derek Thompson, 17 of 29 with three interceptions. 17 and 29 looks actually a lot better than it was. I think you had a lot in those last few drives trying to play catch up. But how many that were missed that were key misses, overthrows? I know there was a fourth down, a couple that were sure touchdowns. Very frustrating. He was sacked twice with three interceptions, 21 yards passing. It was just one of those performances that just makes you cringe.
His accuracy, it just is, you know, really what stands out about his performance today and really, you know, in a lot of this season. You know, the pass to Bynes that was, you know, thrown poorly. Bynes tries to get it. He tips it. It goes into the defender's hands. That's another turnover. And, you know, this is not a team that likes to turn the ball over. And like you said, we had three. You know, the first drive, you know, you get out there and Derek threw it up into the wind. I remember George and Hank saying, well, it's kind of windy out here, and then maybe the ball got caught. Hey, if you know it's windy, then don't throw it up there. And if you know the guy's double covered, then don't throw it to him. It's just these inconsistent type performances make it hard for you to get behind the guy. And, you know, I hope he'll bounce back next week. We need him to. But it's going to be really tough against a very good Arkansas State team.
All right, we obviously have talked about the quarterback situation. Let's go into the defense a little bit. I think they really exploited the secondary this week.
Well, they did, and part of that's because the pass rush is not there. This is not a good defense right now. I mean, I know they had some good plays and had a good game overall against Lafayette, but let's be honest, Lafayette showed us after our victory over them that maybe they weren't as good a team as we thought they might be. I think the lack of the pass rush and, like you said, the secondary – the inexperience, there were a lot of missed tackles by the secondary today, if you watch that game. And those missed tackles led to big plays and even touchdowns. But the other side of that is, why are the secondary guys having, you know, part of the problem is you're not getting a pass rush and you're giving the receivers all kinds of time to get open. So it's not – I agree with you. I think the secondary is a big issue for this program right now. The good news is they're young for the most part, and they're going to get better.
Yeah, they are young, and we've seen some flashes of some things. But with that pass rush, just like you talked about, we've talked about it all year, nothing's changed. Without a pass rush, you've got – those guys are just going to get hung out to dry out there. Either quarterback's got all the time in the world. Eventually, one of those guys is going to get open, unless you've got all-star secondary back there, and we just don't have it right now.
Well, David Busby is a true freshman out there playing safety, and he got burned several times, and – you know,
yeah, Busby's a name we haven't really talked about much this year.
He's getting a lot of playing time. I think he's a pretty good athlete, but he clearly is getting confused out there, and that's what happens when you put a true freshman. And, you know, I know this gets old for people, but I am going to throw in my constant reminder of when we kept Dodge that extra year and Dodge signed a bunch of JUCO guys, I want to say, you know, 10 or 11, it really set back the program because those guys are graduated now. Some of them didn't even make it or didn't pan out. And we're trying to rebuild the talent level on this program. And that's why you have a guy like David Busby that was playing at Coppell High School last year out, you know, as a safety in a, you know, for a Division I team. You know, I think that we saw a lot of mistakes from the secondary, and we'll probably continue to have to go through those growing pains the remainder of the season.
All right. Well, you look at some of the players that did have a few. It's always good to see Antoine Jimerson. Excited about what we're going to be able to see out of him in the next few years. He had a couple of good runs, and, you know, they knew we were going to run the ball because we were trying to get the clock out. We were just trying to get out of there. It's just what we were doing. We didn't have the passing efficiency. So the accuracy on the passes weren't there. We were going to run the ball. He still had some great runs with some good cuts, good moves. I know one of them where he scored he scored on it. Great move guy in the open field. So it's good to see those flashes, but – you know, one or two great flashes is not going to help out when the rest of the team suck and win.
The running back position and our offensive line are the least of our concerns right now. But I will say this. With this offense and the lack of big play passing game, teams are just going to load the box against us. That's what Middle Tennessee did. That's what a lot of other teams have done. And when you do that, even if you have a good running back and a good offensive line, it's hard to break big plays. So you want to keep that consistency, and Jim's going to be a great running back at North Texas. There's no doubt about it. And I thought Jeremy Brown had some nice stuff today. But at the end of the day, we've got to get the passing game to where it's a threat or everyone's going to load the box. And that's what you saw again today. And to be honest with you, Evan, as a fan, it's frustrating to watch us just run the ball when the other team knows that we're going to run the ball. It, you know, when you're down 31 points and you're running it up the middle – for 2 yards, that's not fun as a fan. It just isn't.
All right, let's talk about the injuries and what we've had. Whitfield, Chancellor, Delgado was an injury, but he was out. We've lost a few key defensive players, you know, or not really key, but we've lost some other players. What are we just trying to get to the end of the season now?
Well, no, I think injuries are going to happen. Luckily, I was worried about Fortenberry. He went down, but then I saw he got back in the game. So that would have been a huge blow. I think the biggest one being Chancellor, you know, he's just the fastest, most, you know, spectacular offensive weapon that we have. That really, really makes things tougher for us to not have him for the rest of the season. And I just hope – I know his family, and I just hope that he's going to be okay and come back next season and get that injury healed. But, yeah, it was a very physical game, and you're going to have that as the season plays out. And let's be honest, man, this belt is as tough a belt as we've seen in the years that I've been following it. There's some good teams here, and unfortunately we got a couple more, actually three more that are coming up.
Right. So – looking at this and this record and this team, coaching. What do you have to say about the coaching? Last year, we were feeling like we were winning a few games because the coaching were there. Not necessarily the players were there, but the coaching was there. And that was kind of an intangible that we could say that that's helping us win these games that Dodge couldn't pull through. What do we think about that this year?
I think it's a mixed bag. I thought the play calling against Lafayette was fantastic. I thought the play calling today was very vanilla. But, you know, the argument is going to be if you don't have the weapons, you got to play within the system. I think they decided, hey, Derek Thompson's the best we have. We've got a good running game. We've got a good offensive line. We're going to play smash mouth Western Kentucky style football this year and see how the chips fall. And unfortunately, the belt's too good to be able to pull that off this year. If you don't have enough weapons in your offensive strategy, it's going to be hard to win ball games, as was proven out today.
Well, what about what does this mean for the rest of the season? I mean, what does it mean for recruiting? What does it mean for, you know, we've got two home games left. Next week is homecoming. When you're looking at the homecoming game, you always have a good crowd for homecoming. It looks like the weather might turn out to be okay. It'll be cool on the cool side, but it's not going to be rainy and cold. But, you know, looking towards next year, do you see a lot of really positives? I mean, we've got some players waiting in the wings that aren't eligible right now. Are they going to help bring us up to the next level?
I think it'll help. I think every year that we can continue to recruit and build a program through the high school talent is the direction this staff's going to go. But you would have hoped, I mean, just last Tuesday night, the exhilaration of that Lafayette victory on national TV, you were hoping that this was a game against Middle that you could have won. And then gone in, you know, Arkansas State, Louisiana Monroe, good programs, Western Kentucky. Those were games that really were going to be even bigger challenges. Now we're walking away from this saying Middle Tennessee may have a chance. I mean, they look like they're pretty darn good. The reality of it is you wanted to match the 5 wins or actually get 6 wins this year and show progression. I think everybody understands we're not a bowl team yet after today. But you want to go into these last games and try to get the wins that you can so you can at least show a recruit that, hey, we are making improvements. We've got some key guys like you mentioned that are going to be joining us next year. You want to be a part of this because it's going to get better.
All right, so two home games left. You got to be excited about homecoming. Mm-hmm. It's Arkansas State. Then you've got South Alabama coming to Denton on November 10th.
Yeah.
I think it's really going to depend on what happens this week.
Hey, South Alabama, you know, a lot of people were chalking that up as a victory. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think all of these games are going to be tough. And, you know, again, you want to get to at least that 5 wins to match what you did last year or exceed that and get 6. It's not going to be easy, not with what we saw out there today. Hopefully this was just a hiccup, a bump in the road, and we'll see a more aggressive offense and a sounder defense in the remaining games. But, boy, these are going to be challenging teams that we have to play.
That's right. South Alabama would actually be the easiest, and that's not saying a whole lot because, you know, we've got ULM strong, continue to play strong, Western Kentucky very strong. I mean, we're coming into the heavy part of our schedule. So we really needed to win this game. We needed to win last week. We needed to win Houston. We needed to win Troy.
It's missed
opportunities. We look back at Troy as the point where we should have won the game.
That's kind of where we jumped the shark, if you think about it.
Well, yeah, that was, you know, and the fact is we played so bad in that game and we lost 14-7. That's the worst part of it. You know, we playing so bad, we barely lost the game. So when you look at that, you know, it's going to be a struggle for the rest of the season. And we were in the chat room a few minutes ago. Everybody's talking about basketball.
Well, and that's the, you know, hey, if you're a North Texas fan, that's a silver lining to all this is that we got a great basketball team that's coming together that has some exciting games. Don't give up on football. I know that as I'm a fan just like everybody else out there, this was a tough one to swallow, but, you know, Mac's going to get this thing turned around. It just may take a little more time.
Well, right, but I do feel like he's doing it good. I feel like the players we've brought in are the young guys, and they're going to be around, so I'm excited about that. It's something to look forward to also that we're in a better situation in the Middle Tennessee because we're looking to Conference USA next year. We're looking at 100 years of North Texas football. We got a lot of things still going for us. We've got a wonderful new facility that is the envy of a lot of people. There's a lot of things. So it doesn't matter if you're bringing in recruits based on what you win. We've got that extra bit. We've got the facilities that a lot of schools don't have. We got Conference USA, which a lot of schools don't have. It should just help us out all the way around. So, yeah, these are real tough to swallow right now. Next year is when they're going to be real tough to swallow.
Well, when you're sitting there tonight saying, I'm ready to send my tickets in, I'm checking out, and this is it, I understand your frustration, but keep in mind, we need you there at those games because that's where the recruits are, and we need to show support to the team, even when things are rough. It's a rocky road right now. I know we were all disappointed by the way this game turned out, but we still have 2 home games. We need to fill up that stadium as best we can. You know, if you're a North Texas fan, you know, get through your sorrow over this loss and get back out there for the Arkansas
State. If you're a true
State
North
game.
Texas fan, then you should be used to this. We're going to turn the boat around, but let's be honest that the things are, things could be a lot worse than they are for the Mean Green right now. Yeah, the team's wavering a little bit, but when you look at the everything we have going for us, it's still a good time to be a fan of the Mean Green. Hey, we got that great new bridge.
That's right.
That's true. I'm looking at everything,
small
man.
Victories, man.
It is,
small
man.
Victories.
Little steps right now. So I do have to give a shout-out to Patrick and Keith, who decided that they were going to, you know, their wives be damned, and make the trip to Middle Tennessee to go to the game, and they did. And I think the highlight was probably the hotel they stayed at, from what I'm understanding.
Well, you know, that's always the toughest thing when you go in those road games and you have a game like this where you're out in the first, you know, for really the first quarter, but the first half you're out, almost out of the game. But hey, those guys are true fans and they were there. I tip my hat to them, and hopefully they can have a good time on the way back.
But it was good. Hey, you know what? They went, and a lot of people don't make any away games. Next year, all the way conference games. That's make it
all
right
the way
down
with Conference USA. We've got a pact, and I know a lot of other people out there are going to join with us on this, but we are going to every away game in Conference USA. We just cannot wait for that schedule to get released.
That's right. Start planning now. And with that, we will talk to you next week. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.